CliffCentral.com.
Morning, everyone. Good morning, young and old. Good morning, rich and poor. Good morning, tall and short. We're all here this morning. We're all gathered together for this special service this morning, where we will be honoring and rewarding all those great people to keep the economy going by being up as early as them. Yeah, this is what we do. This is how we do it. Achterini Hawk says, Awe, good morning to all. I have to get up now and go and be a plumber because Gareth doesn't want me working on the show with him. Well, we need more plumbers than we need people like me. That's the truth. The world needs plumbers. What are we going to do if our shitters clog up? And that's a real problem then, Achterini Hawk, so we need you. Nothing worse. Listen,
it's true.
Let me tell you, in that moment where you need a plumber because your toilet is backed right up and your pipes are full of shit, that's the moment where you go, I suddenly realize, like, all the marketing executives and the financial gurus in the world are nowhere near as important to me right now as a plumber. That's the truth. All right, so good morning. We've got Simpiwe, we've got Bulelo, we've got you and me. That's all that matters today. Wednesday morning, it's the 3rd of November already. I went out for a friend's birthday last night, and you know when you're sitting at dinner? I mean, I was with really cool people, and I like them all very much. So there was no, I was not bored by any means. The conversation was fun, and the food was fantastic. And I mean, you know what Gemelli's is like, right? Gemelli's, and that's just very, very good. Old Alessandro Khojani, he does the best job in Joburg when it comes to that stuff. And I'm not ashamed to say I hereby endorse all of the stuff he makes more than anyone else. It's a great place and it's just awesome. So I'm building up to saying a but, right? You know that.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
this
yes.
is all great. This is all great. But I found myself going like really early. I was like 8:15 and I was going, tired. Need to go home and sleep. So I think I'm old. I think I'm this is the final proof I was looking for that I am old.
It's over.
Yeah, but you are.
Yes,
that's a fact.
I know. But Simpiwe, I don't think of myself that way. So you say it like, you know, you want to be a bitch about it, but I don't think that way. I don't feel that way. All right. So I could resist it.
Stop resisting the old. Okay.
I couldn't just wait.
Embrace it. It's okay.
I couldn't wait.
It's fine. It's way past your curfew now. It's okay. Let the cool kids go out with their friends.
The problem is,
have dinner.
Problem is, curfew was a great excuse. Now I can't hide it anymore. Now I'm like, oh, look, I don't mind. I can go big on the weekends, right? I can do that. I can do Friday and Saturday night. Pfft, I'm not afraid. I'll do an all nighter if I have to. But on a weekday,
Have you started napping yet? Have you started like needing a nap?
No, I don't need
a nap.
That's
when you know it's all over.
I often want a nap, but I don't need a nap. But here's the thing, right? It's like a plumber. You need a plumber more than you need a marketing executive or financial genius when your toilet's blocked up. Similarly, if you need sleep, nothing else matters. It doesn't matter how old you are. If you are really tired, like sleep is number one, everything else gets pushed to the back of the queue. You could literally have a date with the most awesome person in the world lined up. Sleep. Sleep Fine. Takes priority, yeah. Right? I mean, everybody, it doesn't matter how old you are. That's like a truism all the time. Robin says, I sometimes go to bed at 1700 hours, 5 in the afternoon. Whew.
What?
Okay, that's that.
Wait.
If I
then what time do you wake up the next day?
But this is
are
the
you
problem.
Those people that are going to be up at like 2 a.m.? And then now you're like, can't sleep.
If you go to sleep at 5, you do exactly that, Simpiwe. You wake up at 2 in the morning and then you hate yourself because then you are awake way too early. You can't get back to sleep. Your whole rhythm is screwed. So, Robin, that's the most stupid idea I've ever heard, just saying that. Terrible idea.
It is a terrible idea.
Five. Yeah.
The sun is still out, Chief.
Unless she's a farmer. No, we're like also, unless she's a farmer.
5 in the afternoon. No, but still, Bulelo, 5 in the afternoon is just not a time to go to sleep, no matter what your job is, where you live. You know, that's not right. That doesn't sound sensible. Anyway,
like maybe in winter, but not summer.
4 o'clock?
No, dude, maybe never. You know what? You talk about circadian rhythms often, right?
Yeah, so, listen, I understand it's not a good idea in general. It's yeah. She's fighting evolution. That's been, yes, we've been here.
You should not go to sleep when it is light outside. And you should not be awake in the morning when it is still dark outside. That is your body saying to you, you should be asleep when the lights there are out. Because it's only recently, and I think what's messed with us, we've spoken to that sleep expert, right? What's messed with us is electricity. Ironically, the thing that powers so much of our technology and allows us to do so many amazing things, including this show, that electricity puts lights on at times where our lights are not meant to be on. We're meant to be sleeping because that's all we're good for at that time. Anyway, I didn't mean to get into a whole debate about this. I was at dinner last night. It was really fun. It was really nice. But then all I could think about was my bed, and I was like, just to lie in bed, you know, just put my head down on that pillow. And sleep. Oh, what a feeling.
So did you come up with an excuse to kind of leave early? Or did you just like...
So I stayed, I stayed until there was a little group photo and there was a cake and someone cut the cake and, you know, everybody had their desserts. But I wasn't even the first one to go, I don't think. But I said to this friend of mine whose birthday it was, I said, look, you know, you've got a party on... with everybody this weekend. I'm not going to be there, but have fun. I'm tired. It's Tuesday night. It's not a good night for me to be out partying. And they were all like, yeah, let's carry on. Let's go and let's pull an all-nighter. Let's go until curfew. I'm like, nah.
But also your friends, Gareth, like who parties on a Tuesday?
Yes, this is
like
part of...
who?
This is part of the problem.
Your people, like, that's also a bit like, yo, who parties on a Tuesday?
Exactly.
Yo.
All right. So here's Errol says, do the right thing, Gareth, by reading out our comments. It's the way to get people to like and subscribe, whether you agree with our comments or not. Good point, Errol. We'll do that. Just go and like, do me a favor. I'm not going to ask you this every morning. It's boring. I sound like one of those YouTubers. Like the comments, subscribe, blah, blah, blah. You know the whole gig. Don't let me tell you again, because it's going to irritate you. It's going to irritate me. It's unnecessary. All we're doing it for is to get that algorithm clocking us up so that we can keep this show going. That's the whole point. That's what we want to do. We want to be unavoidable. We want people to go, if we aren't involved in that show, then we just don't matter. Because that audience is the audience we want to reach. That's all I want. Correct.
That's it. Dominance.
All right.
Not
asking
for too much.
Eddie says, do you ever turn the pillow around to get the cold side? Oh, yes. That is the best.
Oh, no. Ooh, whoa. Nice. I have the solution here. You don't have to do that if you buy a high-quality pillow, Eddie. There are pillows now that, get yourself an ergonomic pillow.
Really?
So, Eddie, there's already a solution to that.
Well, yep, where do you find these things? And what makes them different?
So they're those gel ones, but then they aren't made with goose down or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they also, I mean, what's the term? They breathe or whatever. So both sides stay cool all the time now. So let me tell you, ergonomic pillow, way to go. One of the greatest investments you must make if you want to sleep well is a pillow. People underestimate that.
Agree.
They spend thousands on a bed, great linen, blah, blah, blah. A pillow is a game changer. Game changer. Whew.
Okay.
So,
I would say if there's even a room that you should invest the most in, it's your bedroom. It's the bed itself, your pillow. Those are the two most important things in your life. The rest you'll see.
Couldn't agree more.
And 17 degrees, by the way.
That's the temperature.
Scientifically proven. Best temperature to be sleeping in. Yep.
Okay, but I'm against the idea of air conditioners in the bedroom. I'm also against the idea of TV in the bedroom. Those are two things you don't want. They also get in the way of sleep.
Agreed on the second one. No TV.
No, definitely not. All right, so Bulelo, you're going to have to give me some inside track later about where I get this pillow that's so marvelous, because I have been looking for the right pillow. I've tried a couple. Tried those memory foam ones. They're okay. Tried the ones with the feathers. They don't work for me. I've tried those cheap foam ones. They don't work for me. So I need to actually get the right pillow, and it's as you say, Sipiwe, if you don't do this, you are really spending money on the wrong things. Stupid. Carol says, I never miss a party. I'm 60 years old. I love the nightlife. Probably always will until I can't anymore. Well, good for you, Carol. I mean, that's very inspiring.
It's awesome.
And Ruan good says, yeah, Ruan says, hello from China. So, hey, from China this morning. That's it's always nice to shout out from China, from Ruan. Always good to hear from new people and new people in new places that we haven't been. Surprised you can listen to us there. Not that... No, you know, we don't exactly say things that are government approved on this show, so I don't know. Anyway. All right. I can't sleep without fan noise since the noughties. So you need the fan noise, says Eddie. He needs the fan noise in order to sleep. That
I know some people who need the, yeah, they need that. Some so I know somebody who has to sleep with like a vacuum cleaner on.
Mm. Oh, like, no.
You know that?
Oh,
yeah, it's the only way she can sleep. It's mental.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not allowed to go sleep over at anybody's house.
No
sir, no, ma'am. Like,
no.
You are coming with too much T's and C's for my liking.
That's exactly right. Couldn't agree more. What a disaster. Painful people. Yeah. Painful people with too many T's.
Ben, and then what about the rest of us who actually just want to sleep in a peace? For environments. Now I must just hear this thing going, oh my word. People can be so selfish. What? Like, why? How did you get into, oh my word. What happened? What happened for you to need a fan for you to be able to sleep? That's my thing. What happened?
But you also get those people who need the whale noises, you know, and they switch their phones on and they're like, oh I just need the whale noises or the humming or the. The sound of those gongs that people have in in Buddhist retreats and meditation centers.
Yeah.
Oh, there, now I can have my sleep. I've heard my funny ambient noise.
All of them. Yeah. They're all in the same WhatsApp group, in my opinion. For me, like, don't come to my house because I would not be able to sleep with any kind of noise.
Yeah, but at the same time, we're all used to noise. I remember going to sleep virtually every night of my life, you could hear traffic or you could hear something, dogs barking or something. So I'm kind of, I think those people are talking a whole lot of shit too, because you'd be listening to your whale noises and then suddenly there's a car crash outside on the highway or whatever. You know, you can't get away from those noises, no matter what your neighborhood is like, even if it's a quiet, lovely, peaceful place. And speaking of neighborhoods, we've got to give Simpiwe a chance to defend Boksburg. She was very angry yesterday. She was so angry with me.
Yes.
And with Bulela. We were so rude about Boksburg. So, all right, tell us the good things about Boksburg. Like, try to win us over for this, because as far as I'm concerned, we said nothing wrong.
What? Excuse me? Like, you guys just painted Boksburg to be like the West Rand, you know, where all the devil's door people live. No. Boksburg is a great place, okay? Like, first and foremost, I am a product of Boksburg. Like, and that speaks volumes. I'm an awesome person, you know. I bring wholesome vibes. I am just like, you know, great energy. So that should tell you that Boksburg, you know, top tier, top. Mm. And the fact that I'm from the East Rand,
yeah.
Oh my word, even better. Like the best people are from the East Rand.
Because everyone in South Africa is lining up to go and move into Boksburg. That's why, you know, property prices exactly are skyrocketing. Yeah. If you guys didn't have
it's the best place to chill and hang and just, you know, take it easy.
If you didn't have the airport there right near you, no one would ever talk about Boksburg. No one ever talks about Nigel or Cullinan or Springs. No one ever talks about those places. The only reason that Boksburg comes up from time to time is because O.R. Tambo Airport's there. And by the way, as Spike said in the office yesterday, apparently Boksburg is not the greatest place to situate an airport either, because you have storms, the winds aren't great, and if you speak to pilots, they'll all tell you, not a great place. I mean, you did have Charlize Theron, as Sindile says here. I mean, that's, you know, that's a good point.
Oh, but even she left. She was like, I got to get out of here. As soon as I can get out of here, I'm out of here.
Yes. And Princess Charlene is also from there, isn't she? Princess Charlene of Monaco. So you've got...
No, I think she's from Krugersdorp. I think she's from Krugersdorp.
No. Definitely Benoni.
We also used to have, like, really dope parties
Benoni's up the road. The name of it. Like, how far is Benoni from Boksburg? It's like, you know, 5 minutes, 10
20 minutes away.
20?
Yeah. It's just out. Well, from where I stay, so it's just a neighbor. It's a marquee. Hey, how you doing? I'll come through, see you.
But that's
I've never heard anyone saying, oh, I've got a, guys, you know what we need to try? Yeah, yeah, let's try this cool gin market. Where is it? Boksburg. Oh my God, let's go. Tell Craig we're going. Yeah, I've never heard anybody.
No, but we have like Chisanyamas and you know, you come to the, like, we have the best gotas. Like the East Rand has the best gotas. So, I mean, that's a vibe on its own. And you already know that's a different vibe from your farmer's market. Excuse me, that's a different audience. We all know that already.
Well, Sparks says Cliff Central is becoming a Jerry Springer of podcasts by having all these Boksburg people on the show.
Oh, that's awesome.
That is so great. I love that. Boksburg.
In closing, okay, Boksburg is a really great place. And all I need to say, like, I'm a product of Boksburg, point blank, period. That's it. Well, argument done.
We've got a bit of a challenge here on you for the quotas that you said you guys are the best at. Davidson apparently has the best quotas, according to Nom Africa, Jaji.
I don't know. Like those 75 rand quotas that they put everything in, is it still a quota? I'm not sure. Davidson?
Lindy Nduli says, my friends from the north complain every time they come to visit me in Boksburg. According to them, we need our own number plates. Yes. Mandia says that Princess Charlene was born in Bulawayo in Zim. So, okay, we didn't know that.
Okay. For me, I've always said past the Rivonia Road off ramp. So it's the sort of the road we're behind. Anything past here, as far as I'm concerned, oh boy, oh boy.
You don't stray.
Boy, oh boy. Oh no. Unless I'm getting paid to do it and I'm going to the airport. No, thank you. No.
You're missing out on life, Mbulelo. I can tell you
no,
that.
No, I'm not.
You're missing out on an adventure of life. I will also say, you know, the East Rand is also known for its heists. So if you can survive the East Rand, you can survive any place.
Yeah. And Crime Millionaire Drive, where's that? Is that in
Bedford
View? Bedford View.
Yeah, that's where all the khayers live who've committed the crime. Okay, but people overseas, but Bedford
View, Bedford View is not close to Boksburg and Benoni. That's much further east.
No, it's a,
but there is.
So no, it's the east though.
There is Edenvale those in between,
people,
and
those people. Oh,
and Edenvale. Oh, as Michelle says, Edenvale equals scale from the Vale, dirty place.
Yes.
So we used to have our intern Amanda was from Edenvale. You remember Amanda? Amanda, who used to smoke a hubbly first thing in the morning, and she also didn't tolerate any shit.
Yeah, Amanda and I are very different. Like, her life that she lived, that it's very East Rand, but, yo, it's the East Rand that I don't know of.
She used to go to...
Like,
she used to go to, like, what's that place called with the pool table? Stones. She used to go to Stones, and she would... I think she would take advantage of their brandy special. She was a party animal, though, our Amanda. She's still out there in the East Rand. She's still living life.
Doing it. Living her best life.
For sure.
Best life.
Amanda.
Best life. So
H2O. We used to do H2O back in the day.
Oh, did you go there? So that you did go to Boksburg once or twice, because that's where happened.
Like I said, if there's a specific, very, very specific purpose, or I have to get paid now. In my early years, I was a little wild, so it probably worked for me. Now, to go past Rivonia Road, you got to be paying me. There's no need for me to go into the east. I'm going to the airport. But Wild Waters, still open? Still a thing? Simpiwe, that's near you.
I think it is still a thing.
Yeah, it's kind of just quiet. And we don't really talk much about it, you know. But it's still there. It's still there, guys. It's becoming more like a museum. Oh, wow. But it's still there.
We've got to say, though, that, you know, at least this country has some character. I mean, we have interesting places like Boksburg, Benoni, and Springs, and Kwatema. Those are all on the East Rand. But the most interesting place of all is the West Rand. I think the West Rand still takes the cake. Now, for people who are outside of Johannesburg, you don't understand these distinctions as much. You know, I mean, Bulelo, when you were living in Cape Town, you try to tell people these things. They don't understand.
No, they don't know.
They don't know what you're talking about.
They don't know.
And they think you are being either that you've got like a superiority complex or an inferiority complex, or they think that you are a classist or one of those kinds of things, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. So, which I am.
Yeah, you are. By the way. No, of course.
Yeah.
But the point is that I think too many people who don't know this stuff think that Joburg is just one thing. But like any big city in the world, it's not one thing. There's the people, you can almost tell. See, people, correct me if I'm wrong. You could tell if someone is from a certain part of Joburg or another part of Joburg, right? You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yes.
You could tell almost immediately.
Yeah, so it was even more like evident when I used to take taxis.
Yes.
And because I'm Zulu, you could tell if this is like a person like from the Kasi and they're speaking Kasi Zulu. If they're from KZN and they're speaking KZN Zulu.
Yeah.
Or if they're just like trying to mix and foster and they don't really know how to speak Zulu, but because they've been around here long enough, they can kind of form a sentence or two. And you can just pick it up on how people speak immediately and you're like, okay, you're not from here. Oh, you born from here. Oh, okay, I can't trust you with my life. And that's how quick it is.
Even dress, though. I can tell in how people dress. If you're not from where in the north, I can tell, okay, that person lives elsewhere. Like, welcome.
But that
you can tell immediately.
I want to challenge some of that because sometimes people from the really rich neighborhoods dress the worst because they're slobs. They don't care because they buy some expensive shit and they think that covers for the fact that they're basically a slob. They don't take any pride in themselves. I've seen people who dress beautifully every day, and they come from neighborhoods where you don't think they have a lot of money, but they dress right every day. And the people from the smart neighborhoods are like baseball cap on and like tracksuit pants and like slops, and they look like they, you know, just woke up. So I don't know. There's also an energy.
Listen, there's also an energy that guys from the East and the South move a little different. Mm. Like if you've been to a club in the North, you know what I mean.
Mm.
They also roll 6-7 deep. You know what I mean? It's not just.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. So there's also a vibe. Like, you know, you're not looking at Miguel in the eye. You know what I mean? And then, well, you know he's from Edenvale.
Jim points out something interesting here. Now, I've been there a couple of times. I've got one friend who lives in there, but Eagle Canyon, you ever been there? So Jim says,
my aunt lives there.
There we go. I'm seeing a lady that lives in Eagle Canyon. Getting there is like getting to Middle Earth. I expect an orc to jump out at any time. The West Rand is next level. So Eagle Canyon is this quite smart estate. It's huge, first of all. You could spend 3 hours driving around in there trying to find the right house. Am I right, Mbulelo? You've been in. Tough to find your way, right?
It's
a whole separate. It's like, you know, we're doing this podcast series with Waterfall Estate, which is also huge. I mean, there are like 9 different estates inside Waterfall, and it's a city on its own. But Eagle Canyon also feels that way. It feels like it's a different world. When you enter those gates, then there are other gates inside the gates. You know what I mean? Like there's a boom past the boom, and you're like, you have to put in a code about 10 times before you get to the place you're meant to be going to. And there's some very nice houses in there. But getting to the estate, you drive past what looks like Afghanistan, man. Like, I drove through this place, they're burning tires, and there are people selling mohodu on the side of the road. And then there's, like, someone, like, kicking shit into the road, and there's, like, stray dogs running around. You think, where the hell am I? And then 2 minutes later, you're at the gate of this very fancy estate. You know what I mean?
You know, sure. Because I'm an extremely judgmental person, that area is always great to go to their clubhouse, right? So I have a very good friend who lives in there, and then my aunt lives in there as well. So what's great about is that all the people in the West Rand who made money moved into Eagle Canyon, and people don't change.
Mm.
So they still bring West Rand habits. It just has money now.
Yeah,
and what money does is it doesn't change you. It makes you more of who you are. So I do enjoy walking around Eagle Canyon sometimes going,
well, Ryan says, you know what they say about four ways in, no way out. And Ongopotse says, I went to school in the West Rand. What a horrible place. Oh, it's so good. Martin points out this isn't just a South African thing. Same with Hong Kong and China. Both are Chinese, but you see someone from the mainland 2 miles away. Yeah, it's a very different energy. It's a very different vibe. Anyway,
I mean,
so
Simpiwe, listen, even London, right?
Sure. I mean,
sorry.
I just wanted to say
London's like that.
Like, don't take it personally that that's where you're from. So I went to school in Centurion, and, you know, my parents ended up living here because we used to live on a farm, which was miles out of town. And that was a pain in the ass for my poor mother, who had to take us to school. And so we moved to, but I don't have a whole lot of love for Centurion. In fact, I'm usually a little bit reticent to tell people that's where I live. It's not like a, oh, wow, you're from Centurion. No one's ever said that, you know? There was like,
no one anywhere.
They go,
no, nobody anywhere.
They kind of go, ooh. Yeah. You know? And,
oh, my word. Heavens.
Yeah, they're a little bit put out. So, I mean, you get nicer parts of Centurion, you get really terrible parts of Centurion. But I don't take it personally when people say, oh, is that where you live? Because they are a bit judgy. You know, people like Mbulelo, it's very important that people know where he lives. It's part of his identity. But I don't really care about that. I could live anywhere I wanted to. I chose to live here. It's close to family. I'm halfway between Johannesburg and Pretoria. I grew up in Pretoria. I went to university there. I went to school there. So to me, it's just convenience. And, you know, I'm near. I can get on the highway and be wherever I need to be in like 20 minutes. So purely, it's like if someone says they're in Midrand. There's good Midrand and there's bad Midrand. You know what I mean?
No, I'm really judging you, especially if you're a guy and you say you're from Midrand. Those guys, you probably have a GTI and your apartment has no furniture. Cool.
Yes. No, that's right.
All right.
And you're probably doing something a bit dodgy. Even if you have a real
job. No, you have no money, Chief. You're spending your money on that GTI. You can't afford it. And you have not bothered to buy any furniture because you think it's cool to just have a camp chair. And I don't know what you're trying to push. Like, Midrand guys, Saba, I run. I'm scared. I'm almost like, send me a picture of your apartment first.
And yet, technically, I think Midrand must be one of the most wealthy parts of the country. I mean, it's certainly one of the fastest developing parts of the country. I mean, there's so many estates and complexes and buildings going up there all the time. I mean, you get everything from a flat that's the size of a postage stamp to those monstrous houses. You know, those big ones that you get inside those private estates in Midrand. Some of those things are like proper, like European mansion style, you know?
And I mean, those equestrian estates. I mean, if you go sort of from that Baloo area and you sort of head into Kyalami, boy, oh boy. Wow.
Yeah, you see, Hadmin says like Centurion makes her think of Klerksdorp. See, I don't take that personally because I often feel that way too myself. I mean, we used to, when we were kids and our parents would say, all right, we're going to go Christmas shopping. We'd all be excited as hell. They'd say, we'll go to Centurion. I'd be like, nah, then we won't come with. You'd be like, it's okay.
You guys go.
But anyway, Ashraf says, screw you, Simpiwe. I stay in Midrand and I have furniture.
Oh, you're one of the few.
One
of the few.
B says,
like, there's so many of y'all.
B says, why do they hate?
You the one.
Why do they hate trees in Midrand? It's so stark. It's not a priority.
Really, is it bare out there?
Yeah, it is. It's kind of a bit dry, you know? Those Midrand people are minimalists, says Sparks. All right, so let me ask you this.
They have a bad reputation.
So let me ask you this, both of you, because this is always a fun game to play, and this may be something everyone else wants to play as well. If you had endless money and you could live anywhere in South Africa, and you know traveling to and from work wasn't an issue, let's say you had whatever car you dreamed of, or if you were really, really wealthy, let's even say that you had a helicopter or you had someone to drive you or whatever, but you can live anywhere you want. Like, what do you think the best place in South Africa to live is? Really? I mean, Bulelo,
Constantia.
You've been to
Constantia, Cape Town.
You reckon?
No. Constantia, Cape Town, no doubt, because I can have a property big enough for you all to be far away, and I'm still near Table Mountain, and I can still go to Woolworths, but I don't have to take in the world, but I can feel like I'm living in the middle of nowhere. It's because I need lifestyle, right? I need stand-up paddling. I need the mountain. I need So Constantia right now, if I could.
Yeah.
Constantia, no doubt.
That's persuasive.
Okay.
Okay, I don't disagree with you. That's a good one. Where would you go, Simpiwe?
Okay. Well, I feel like I haven't traveled enough.
That's
and
fine.
All I'm thinking of my next destination and not necessarily like that destination being my final destination. So for me, it would be like where I'd love to move to next, Waterfall. The Waterfall Estate is where it's at. That's where I see myself. And I'm just like, I want to be that girl that lives there because it has everything that it speaks me. You know, it speaks my language.
But it's also
like, it suits me. Mall of Africa is right there. Yeah. It's a smart city. So,
but it's a city.
The kind of work I do.
It's a city in a city and you're in the middle of everything and like you're close to everything. I agree with you. That's a good place to be. You know, some of those houses in the Polo Estate part of it, you know, those very, very fancy houses. I mean, yeses. I went to a birthday party in there once. I couldn't believe my eyes. And remember that place is new. 7-8 years ago, there were none of those houses there.
Amazing.
Brand new. Anyway, Tracy says, Pleasant summer, Prince Albert in winter. I've never been to Prince Albert. I don't know.
Very nice. Yeah, hey, so hoity-toity, Prince Albert.
Doggos are just pointing out to you, Simpiwe, that Waterfall is in Midrand. Yeah, yeah.
I know that, but I want to live by the smart city side, you know?
Mm. Are you on Midrand light?
Mm. No, you know, like, I'm not going to say I'm from... People don't say how I live in Midrand. No, they're going to say how I live in Waterfall Estate.
Yeah, there's a difference. Correct. They don't say... It's how you frame it. Ludacris says Salt Rock in KZN is beautiful. That is a really nice place. There are a lot of people are moving to the coast, hey? A lot of people who've had enough of Joburg and also used lockdown as an excuse because they realized, like, you don't have to live in the place that you work now. For many people, it is possible. Mm. For most of us, it isn't. But for many, it is possible. Ludacris says Salt Rock. Dogoza says best place is probably somewhere in Knysna. You were in the Garden Route not so long ago. So was I, Bulelo. That's a nice place, but I think you're a bit isolated.
Well, yeah, and I'm a bit young. I think you have to be family or on the other side of sort of 60, because it's just like they don't know how to turn the volume up. It's always volume down, you know? So it's a sensational lifestyle. But in Constantia, I could have that life, and you can stay the hell away from me, and I can go to Woolworths.
You've put a good argument together for Constantia. Ned says Franschhoek or Bishop's Court, also very nice. Keenan says, Gareth, for me, it's the Vaal. Yeah, but Keenan, the Vaal is run so badly, right? The whole south of Gauteng is just run so incredibly badly. These municipal elections, and by the way, the results are coming in thick and fast. They're reporting like 58% of the votes have been tallied. And it's interesting to see what's happening. Obviously, much of the country is still ANC, and I don't think that's going to change very much. But it is interesting to look at places like Pretoria, where the DA is currently at 35% and the ANC at 32%. With only 23% of the results counted. So we'll have to see what actually happens there. Obviously, places like Johannesburg still very much in the balance. And if you're looking at all these results, there are great websites. You can go to elections.org.za. You can go to News24's map. They're very good. In fact, many of the media organizations have their own tallies going, but it's interesting to look at. I'd be curious to see what happens in our cities, because part of the reason this is such an interesting discussion for today, you know, where you would want to live, is like you'd also want to live in a place where, you know, you'd get good service delivery. Because even if you live in the most amazing house and you have the most amazing property and you are as independent as it's possible to be, you still need those roads. And as soon as you drive out of your gate, you drive onto a road that someone else is responsible for. And you can't, no matter how rich you are, you can't fix that on your own. And you need most of the service. But even if you do, like, eventually you run out of your jurisdiction and someone else takes over. So you have to have a kind of municipality that's true. You know? Anyway.
Yes. No, 100%.
Yeah. Lots of interesting answers. Freistaat, Oos Freistaat, according to Javier Roux, says Oos Freistaat, die beste plek om te wees. I don't know about that, hey. Eastern Free State. What's that like? Clarence. Pretty there.
Hey, Clarence but it's like you've said, it's Clarence you should treat like, what do you always say about Cape Town? Like you're a mistress, right?
But Not even a mistress.
Like Clarence is
like
awesome.
Clarence is a one-night
stand. 3 days, 4 days,
one-night stand, not even a mistress. Mistress is like you still want to see her again. Clarence is you have that experience once or twice, and then you're like, okay, we're done on that one.
She crazy.
Patensi. Where is Patensi? Does anybody actually know? I hate sounding like the most ignorant person in the
room. What happens there?
I don't know. Ungas. Ungas. Apparently, according to Thurence, Sivengesi tweeted that as long as the ANC takes a knock, he's happy. Yeah, he's been very vocal, our friend Sivengesi. We must maybe get him on the show again. People love hearing from him, too. But he's so he doesn't give a shit, hey? Siv.
Yeah,
it's almost like sometimes it's like he's looking for trouble with people. I love that attitude. He's not afraid. Still by, the wind drops every night. Yeah, but you have wind, which is not my favorite thing. Weather-wise, yes, well, you can't do much about a wind. Niku says, I enjoy the silence of the southern berg. I wouldn't survive a city. Is that places like Underberg? Is that
Underberg, yeah, okay. That's special living. But then, again, no Woolworths and, you know, when stuff goes wrong in places like that. Oof. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do love Underberg. Oh, unbelievable.
Simbiti Eco Estate in Belito is lovely, according to Ntogozo. Yeah, it is. That's lovely. I've been there on a holiday and stayed in one of those places. But I also don't know about the coast because things just, they rust and, you know, that kind of shit sets in and it's a lot of maintenance. But I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday and she was saying she wants to move, at least she wants to be half and half in Joburg and half in Durban. I think that's maybe a good way to go as well. Dear Linda says, Bulelo, I say to my family, if Woolworths had to close in South Africa, I would emigrate. So she's in your...
Hey! She gets it. She gets it. I'd have to... not today. Not now.
Tell me what Sindile is up to here. Speaking to Ndogozo, she says, Majozi, kutwele
Izinyogalapo. I think is that in Joburg?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's full of snakes.
Izinyog.
Illegal connections.
Oh yes, of course. Okay. Too many snakes in Durban. I'm not living in hell, no. Oh God. Someone sent me a picture of they found a snake in their bedroom. But like a big ass snake, and they had to call in like a specialist to come and help take it out. Yo. That's not great, hey? But we forget, like, our parents and grandparents used to have to deal with that shit all the time. We used to often find snakes when I was a kid around. Now, most of us live in cities and towns where we don't have to deal with that so much. I promise you, just one generation, two generations back, they were still chasing wild animals out.
So when you go up north, and I mean, you forget, Durban's a tropical paradise. That comes with an edge. Snakes are cold-blooded. They need to stay warm. But up north as well, you know, Limpopo. I mean, for me to hear from my family that we found a mamba. Oh, that's okay.
It's not
and then
they
just carry on and tell you about breakfast. Yeah. It's wild. It is wild.
Jane Malachi, when us Jane goes to her house in Limpopo, she always has to chase out the snakes and the monkeys and the baboons and all kinds of shit. She has to fight these animals just to get into her house. Anyway, later on this morning, we're going to be joined by Sean Sanders. In fact, he'll join us shortly, and we'll talk a little bit about cryptocurrency. Yo, it's been a good week for cryptocurrency. It has been extraordinarily good, and for many people, this is their best time of year. They call it the third quarter, and they talk about these ups. So we'll speak to him about that. Also got Lorraine Maisel joining us later on. So Law will tell us about she hit a bit of a bumpy road a couple of weeks ago, and she's been dealing with like a lot of anger, and she decided to go and book herself into a place called the Rage Room. Now I've never heard of this before, but apparently you pay money and they let you smash shit up. Like you get to break stuff with hammers and baseball bats. And she went in there and crowbars. And she was smashing shit up, which is so funny. So we'll find out from her what happened. Yeah. Sounds amazing.
I'm going to that.
Yeah, I'm going to that.
Yeah. I'm going. Yeah. That's awesome.
So,
yes.
Mandia says, Simpiwe looks very unhappy about snakes. Do you particularly not like snakes?
Yes. But I'm not a fan of any wild animals in general. Like, I'm that girl, you're gonna tell me about a lion, the sharks, I really just cringe, and I'm like, ooh, not for me. Like, I'm glad I was born in this generation. I was not built for that.
I think you could have been quite tough if you'd been born a generation or two ago. I think you would have been fine with, like, wrestling a mamba to the ground and
oh no! Have you seen how I act when I see like a bird close to me? I'm already like, granny, just a bird. No. I was not built for that life. No.
All right. Mm-mm. I'll leave you alone. That's fine. Let's just accept that we're happy that we live when we live, because I don't think it would be. Absolutely. Yeah, it's not everybody's cup of tea to deal with that shit. All right. One or two quick headlines before we get to Sean. So first things first. Apparently, Carol Baskin is suing Netflix over Tiger King. Oh, does anyone care about this? Does anyone care about these really trashy people? Carol Baskin and her husband have taken legal action about the inclusion of old footage in the upcoming Tiger King sequel. The big cat rescue boss and her husband, Howard Baskin, submitted a complaint to federal court on Monday aiming to stop the streaming service and the directors of this company from launching their 5-episode sequel in November. The couple have argued the filmmakers have no right to use any footage left over from 2020's Tiger King, Murder, Mayhem, and Madness under the deals they signed in 2016. So basically, I think this is just a way for them, hopefully, to get more money. That's what they're thinking. That's what I read out of this, right?
Yeah. I mean,
seems like Netflix is not getting it right lately. That's it.
So I don't know if you saw that whole thing between Elon Musk and the United Nations World Food Program the other day. There was a big argument between them on social media. Basically, CNN published this article where they said, if Elon Musk just gave 2% of his wealth, we could cure world hunger. You know, you see these headlines from people who don't understand how money works. First of all, Elon Musk doesn't have $6 billion sitting around in cash. He doesn't have a bank account like Scrooge McDuck that he swims in the gold coins. What do you still think like a child with cartoons going on in your head? Like, that's not money he actually has. That may be the value of his company, but he's not cashing that out, because if he cashed it out, the share price would drop and then he wouldn't be that rich. So he doesn't have a bank vault or a private safe at home that's just loaded with cash money. I promise you that's not how it works. Anyway, so the stupid CNN people who wrote that article, they put it on social media, and then Elon Musk saw it and he said, fine, like, if the UN can show us exactly how they spend that money and tell us how they will cure world hunger, then I'll give it to them right now. I'll cash out that money right now and let them have it. So I can access it. I will, but I want to see, of course, the UN, you know, ran scared. They're like, well, sure, we can show you the money. He's like, no, I want it on an open source software page where everyone can see exactly where the money goes. And then I want you to prove that you can cure world hunger, because you've already got $8 billion from the UN. How's my $6 billion going to make the difference? Anyway, of course, it's never going to happen, because the UN is just a big bottomless pit of money where bureaucrats find ways to move it around, mostly to pay themselves salaries, and then nothing ever gets done in places like Bangladesh or in Cambodia, where people are actually starving, or Eritrea. Right? Those people, they're just full of shit.
Dickheads.
Right. And they don't understand how money is made, which is why they don't understand how they think they can spend their way out of a problem. It's precisely why they don't actually earn money, and they have to use everyone else's money to do things. Anyway, screw the UN. I really think it's time for us to whittle them down to size. They should actually have their budget sliced in like tenths. What did they do, by the way, those people in the UN? What did they do in an organization that is meant to stop things like genocide and holocausts and things like that? What have they done for the Uyghurs in northwest China, for example? What have they done for what did they ever do in Rwanda when all of that was going on? What did they do in Northern Ireland? Zero is the answer. The United Nations should be embarrassed and ashamed of itself. And the fact that they keep getting money from the rest of us is outrageous. And you know, our government also contribute to the UN, right? So instead of us having to pay more for petrol, why don't they give us a petrol reduction and stop giving the UN money? That would be a much better way to spend their cash. Anyway, I thought that was funny. And then this story comes up, which is related to that, because Jeff Bezos doesn't want to be left out, right? So he suddenly comes up with this thing. He's pledging $2 billion of his own money at COP26, which is this talk shop where a whole lot of very rich people take their private jets to Glasgow in Scotland to talk about how they're going to save the environment. Sounds right.
Oh, with private jets.
Private jets. Mm, yeah, okay. But then they look at Simpiwe and Gareth and Bulelo, and they're like, ooh, but you guys mustn't drive your cars to work because that's polluting the atmosphere and raising the carbon footprint of humanity. Meanwhile, they get in their private jets and burn tons and tons of avgas to go and talk about how bad everyone else is. And Greta,
they wouldn't look at me. I don't have a car.
And they have Greta Thunberg like looking at them going, you are just disgusting. How dare you? A lot of shit.
Get him, Greta. Get him, Greta.
Oh, my God. Did you see that very funny video of the Thunbergs at home with the Thunbergs? Did you see that?
No.
Oh, my God. Let me find it. It is so funny. It's all about Greta's family and how they behave when she's not at home. Because can you imagine what a pain in the ass she is to live with? You know what I mean, right? Yeah. Imagine Greta Thunberg's your daughter and you're this mom and dad and you're like, you live in Sweden or wherever she's from. I think she's from Sweden, right? Let me just play
probably,
this for you. This
probably
is
somewhere like
that. And this is the kind of thing people just love sending around on social media because actually, deep down inside, no one really likes Greta Thunberg and they find her like a scolding, disapproving, angry, nasty person. So let me show you this. At home with the Thunbergs. This will make you laugh. And if you had a daughter like this, you'd probably be equally unhappy. So it's her mom and dad, but they just for a moment, suspend disbelief. They speak with Scottish accents, and there is a bit of there's a translation and subtitles underneath. So I'll play it, and you know if you don't get it, then I'll explain afterwards. But here they are. All right.
Don't get me wrong, we miss her wee Greta, but we wish her all the best of luck over there in that New York. I think my wife feels the same.
Oh, aye. On the other hand, it's been cracking. We've had the heating up, full bung, lights blazing. Take the motor to the corner shop, leave the bike in the shed. No grief done nothing. It's been bliss.
And then we took that wee holiday, mind?
Oh, sure did. Flew out to Vegas 3 nights. And then when we got there, we took another plane to the Grand Canyon. Just because we could without getting nip in the air.
That's right into these steaks, mind that?
The size of the portions. I picked out like crazy. None of this vegan carry on. Just stuff your gubby beef breakfast, lunch and dinner. Didn't even finish off yet. But how good was it back to nosh away with you? A certain summon gina.
How dare you?
Mother! Papa! It is me, Greta! I have returned!
Oh, shit. She's back, Ellie. Quick, take away the... Clear up the takeaway things, man.
Hiya! All right, so basically they're thrilled that she's left them for a while to go to the COP summit so they can actually eat steak, travel to Vegas, switch on the lights, you know, turn on the heating. They don't have to look after themselves and watch everything because of Greta scolding them the whole time. Anyway, 100 electric cars that were ordered for COP26 to ferry dignitaries, 200 diesel generators brought in to charge them. You see this hypocrisy? That's from Angus. Thank you, Angus. That's exactly what I'm saying. My God. Anyway, all of this is going on, and Jeff Bezos says he's not going to be left out. He says it's very important that he's pledging $2 billion of his own money to restore nature. Good. Let's hope.
Well, he doesn't need the $2 million. He doesn't have a wife anymore. So
$2 billion. You know, he gave her way more than that. But they plan to spend $10 billion fighting climate change overall. Okay. You're going to fight the sun with $10 billion. Sure. Fight the sun with $10 billion. Good luck. That's great. He says, I was told that seeing the Earth from space changes the lens from which you view the world, but I was not prepared for just how much that would be true, he said. Of course, he went up in a rocket of his own making. Burning all that fuel didn't add to the carbon footprint. Now, did it? Do you know how much fuel a rocket burns? Do you have any idea? But you're going to tell us that we've all got to step up now, Jeff. Yes,
guys,
please.
Leave Jeff alone. He just went through a terrible divorce
that
where the woman
ages
got
ago.
Half of the money she didn't deserve. Give the guy a break, man.
That was ages ago, and you've made your position very clear that you don't think she deserved all that money. I know.
any of it. But anyway, fine. Well, whatever. Is give Jeff a break. Give Jeff a break. The guy's going through some stuff.
You know how you can sort out the climate crisis is become rich. Rich people care about the environment because they have the time and the luxury to care about the environment. Poor people in developing countries don't have time or money to worry about the environment. They have to burn wood for fuel, etc., etc. Sorry. If you want to improve the environment, the only surefire way to do that is raise everyone's standard of living. That's a
and how you can do that, marry Bezos, get the divorce, get the settlement, you can get rich.
Or invest in cryptocurrency, which brings us to Sean Saunders. Yes, exactly.
Quite right.
If you want to save the environment, make money off cryptocurrency. And here is the unbelievably good-looking Sean Saunders to help us figure this out this morning. First of all, Sean, what a week in crypto, dude. I mean...
Oh yeah.
We crossed the million we crossed the million rand mark for a Bitcoin, right?
We did. I mean, think back to 3 years ago when we first came on the show. And we were talking about this as if it was something that was going to happen at some point in the future, and the future's arrived. Here we are.
Here
we are.
It's
super exciting. It's a very proud moment, you know, sort of as an early adopter. I mean, I got into the crypto space back when it was only really Bitcoin in 2015. And yeah, we sit here with the million rand Bitcoin, and you know, I just think this is the start. I'm a Bitcoin bull. Of course, I'm going to say that. But, you know, we've had a lot of questions, especially over this last week about, you know, what does this mean? We've had a million rand, a Bitcoin. Am I too late? What do we do now?
Yeah,
and it's the same advice that I gave all the way back then, right? And it's just the same stuff, unfortunately, which is to say, listen, this is still the start of something much bigger. The past returns mean absolutely nothing. Go look at, you were talking about Bezos right now. Go look at Amazon's stock and how quickly it's grown and how much it's grown over the last 10 years. Microsoft, go through any of those, right? Sure. The returns are staggering. But it's the possibility of what these companies can do in the future. And in this case, what the likes of Bitcoin, Ethereum, and all the rest can do, which really excites me. So, you know, I still say strap in and get ready for a ride.
So, Sean, it doesn't matter if you are only getting in now. Rather get in now than wait another week or three or a year, because I did hear somebody the other day who's, I mean, you know, some people have done really well with crypto and they've cashed out, and some people continue to make profits and then they take profits and so on. And you should be able to manage your money. But I mean, there are obviously service fees involved in many of these platforms when you convert from Bitcoin to Rand or whatever. Would you say, because this guy said to me, oh no, he's out. He'll buy back in when there's a big crash. But you don't know whether there's going to be a big crash or not, just like you don't know whether there's going to be a big upswing in the price of any of these cryptocurrencies. So it's never too late, right? You should get in now. Yesterday is too soon.
I mean, you can try time the market, right? I mean, a lot of people do that. We see that at Revix a lot. When you see a 10 or 20% pullback in the crypto space, which invariably will happen again. Like, this is definitely something that sits within the next 2 or 3 years. You will have a 10 to 20% pullback. And yeah, people do jump in. The question is, you know, we're sitting at roughly around $63,000 of Bitcoin right now.
Yeah.
Does that 20% pullback happen when it hits $100,000? Does it happen when it hits $90,000? Because then you're actually getting in at a worse price. So if you speak to, I guess, pretty much any institutional investor, any player that's in the hedge fund space, any endowment investor, they don't really care about the exact price right now, because their job is really to sort of average into the market. They would go to a broker or professional trader and they'd say, okay, let's execute maybe a percent of our position that we want to get into this every single day. So, you know, 1% a day over 100 days means that you average it in over a particular period of time. And then when you're looking at exiting that position in the future, you've got the average price over that particular period. So if it is increasing, as you know, the crypto market is doing, then you've got an average rather than just sort of trying to time the market right now. So that's my advice to most investors out there as well, is sort of get started. You don't need to rush out and buy, like, you know, you put your life savings into crypto.
Sure.
But then dollar cost average in, put a little bit of money in over time.
All right. So that sounds like it could be an interesting investment strategy. Again, we're not giving anyone financial advice, but we are saying to you that it's better to be in than to be sitting outside and wondering why everyone else is celebrating and having a party when you're not. Obviously, most people are motivated by FOMO. And if you hadn't bought in and you're looking at the prices now, you're thinking, damn it, I should have got in ages ago. What do you reckon the trajectory is going forward? I mean, this is pure speculation. But there are things that you've told us before. You told us last week, for example, that there are more and more institutional investment businesses and corporations and institutions that are getting into cryptocurrency. Is there any concern at all that this thing has a flaw which could disappear under us, that there's something that could happen that could really just ruin everything? I think a lot of people were referring to there was this coin that came out, I think, just a little while ago, and it just tanked completely. So that does happen with some cryptocurrencies. Just explain to us the environment and what the potential risks are, but what the potential rewards are as well, overall.
Yeah, so we spoke about this last week, funny enough, with the likes of Dogecoin, yes, and Shiba Inu and, yes, all the rest. So there is the speculative market in crypto. No one's denying that. 80 to 90% of the space is just driven by pure speculation, just like the early days of sort of the dot-com bubble and all the rest.
I mean, just to be clear, I was referring to that Squid Game token, which has tanked out really badly.
Yes, I mean, the Squid Game token was insane, right? I mean, it went up 280,000% over the space of a couple of days, and it tanked 100% thereafter. And this was just a classic pump and dump scheme, as they called, where if a token's created, and there's thousands of these tokens out there. I mean, people don't realize, but there's 6,500 cryptocurrencies right now. Most of those, 99% of those, do absolutely nothing. Some of them have promising teams and they're looking to really do interesting things, but some of them do absolutely nothing. So if you look at, let's say, Shiba Inu as an example, or any of these other sort of pump and dump tokens that have occurred recently, all that really happens is you've got a social influencer of some kind that hypes this up, that then gets other social influencers on board. It just lands up pumping the price up. Remember that the crypto market's this pure, pure capitalistic market. There's pure supply and demand determining prices. And if there's nobody selling and loads of people buying, the prices just land up skyrocketing. And then you do get this FOMO effect where so many people enter into the space. And, you know, it's sort of that game where, well, if you're the last one in and the market tanks, you're the one sort of left with your pants down. And unfortunately, that's happened to a lot of investors. And that's why you'll see on the Revex platform, we'll never launch the likes of Shiba Inu, or we'll never launch the likes of Doge or any of these other sort of pump and dump tokens. Why? Because, you know, we feel that we have an obligation to people that are investing with us to only have reputable projects on the platform. Losing 20% of your investment is painful. Losing 100%, that's devastating. And for a lot of people, that, you know, that's a significant financial impact as well. So again, it's sort of the prudent advice that we've given all along, which is to say, do your homework. You know, if you want to gamble, then, you know, maybe put a small amount of money into a gambling cryptocurrency, but don't be putting money in that you're losing sleep over. That's always the barometer that we use. If you're losing sleep over a particular investment, you probably over-leverage to it.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, there are these incredible stories. And again, this is where people... Sorry. I was saying that these incredible stories of where people have invested at some point and then everything's gone sky high. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. Everything's gone sky high overnight. And those are the stories people tell. But that's again, that's anecdotal, right? You don't want to throw that in when the general view is also available to you, where you can actually track these things the way Revex does over time. So someone asked a very specific question here. When are you going to have Luna available on Revex? Is that something you're looking at?
Whoever that is that's asking that, I've been pushing hard to have that launched recently. It's a really interesting project. If you haven't checked them out, I'd go download the Luna Station and all the rest. The Terra Station, as it's called, and you can sort of play around with that DeFi protocol, which is really interesting. We unfortunately/fortunately have been working on our mobile app, so we're planning on launching that very soon.
Well, here's Hugo. He says, please ask Sean when their app is launching, so people are paying attention.
Yeah, I like that. Hopefully soon. We're in testing at the moment, so we're hoping to be able to launch that pretty soon. Just coming back though quickly to something that you mentioned previously, which is, you know, some of these investors have got into this market, they've made loads of money, and then they're the ones that go out and say, okay, listen, like, I made loads of money in crypto, you should get in now. Like, that's not really a good reason to get in. You need to get excited about the future potential of the space and understand where it could be going. And I mean, that starts with maybe a small investment. Having vested interest means that you'd end up doing a bit of reading and research about what's going on in this world. But some interesting insight here. We were looking at something for an article, really, which is a bit of research around which investors at Revex have performed the best since we've launched. And we've been around now for just over 3 years. The best investor from a return standpoint was our fourth investor ever that came in and put 80,000 Rand into our top 10 bundle. They never made a trade since then and actually sold out yesterday. But they landed up making from 80,000, they exited with 1.1 million rand. How interesting is that? Now, what are top 10? And that's just the top 10 bundle, right? So they never made a trade. They never sold out until yesterday. And what's interesting about that is with the top 10 bundle, you're not betting on individual cryptocurrencies, mooning, and all the rest. I mean, that'll give you a little bit of exposure if the likes of something within the top 10 bundle has to significantly increase in value. Mm-hmm. But you're getting the sort of market increase over time. I mean, that top 10 bundle owns about 83% of the total cryptocurrency market. So you're actually investing in the crypto market in a sense. So that's been, you know, sort of something I looked at and I was like, hell, that's a lot of validation for our product.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, okay.
Well, somebody here says they've just signed up. Ryan, he says, I've just signed up for Revix this week. Very exciting stuff. And I think we will leave it on that note, Sean. We've got lots to think about. And if you haven't even thought about it before now, then this may be a wake-up call. There are lots of new people listening to us this week. And I welcome you, and Sean welcomes you, and go and try it out. You know, put in $500 if you can squeeze that out of the wallet this month and see what happens to it. It may just be an interesting ride for you. You may just end up really being grateful for that one day. It's kind of like setting aside any money for savings, and in this case, for investment. But go and give it a try. So you can go and sign up for Revix. It's totally free. You have to just verify, as you always do in these platforms, that it is you and that it's your money, and then you can start moving money around. There are various bundles available, and you can buy absolute cryptocurrencies too, whatever you prefer. Thanks, Sean.
Great, guys. Thanks very much.
Good
Have
to
a good
see
week.
You, dude. Cheers. Bye-bye. There's Sean Saunders and Revix.com. R-E-V-I-X. Go and check them out today. It's exciting, hey? How's that guy put in 80 grand and he just pulled out 1.1 million?
It's awesome.
Isn't that nice?
Like, yeah.
Awesome. What a great December he or she's going to have.
Yeah. Hermine says, Gareth is forgetting his mic more and more. He's becoming real old.
Oh, no. Oh, boy.
You, I mean.
Told you, don't fight it.
No.
Don't fight it.
Oh, boy. don't poop in the Vatican. Don't be that. I hope you.
Yeah, no, like Joe Biden. So Michael says, you never talk about Ripple. Listen, Michael, there's only so much time we have with Sean, but we'll speak to him next week. Just send me a reminder and we'll throw in Ripple, XRP. A lot of people very interested in Ripple. Also want to talk to him a little bit about some of the other smaller cryptocurrencies, because there's a lot of excitement around some of these. And I'm on one of these groups, you know, these WhatsApp groups, but I don't really participate. I just see what these other guys are talking about. They have conversations like, for example, AR going off its tits. Now, I don't know what that is. And Boson, although that one seems to have run a bit, you know, Polka City. Yeah, I hear about these things. I'm like, huh? Senso. These are some cryptocurrencies I've never heard of. And I don't think I'll. It's Sand. Sand. Noia. Alt. OLT. I don't know what those are.
But you know what? Crypto and anime people.
Yeah.
Like once they get going, you can't get in there because they're like, oh, bro, that's not even Japanese. It's not even. Actually, the real one was done by a young girl after her samurai father got killed at 8.
Yeah.
And then it didn't get. You know what I mean? They're really like.
And CrossFit. Like, well, CrossFit. CrossFit's the same.
Yeah.
Like, no, dude, your form is really bad. You need, what you need to do is like do the pull up like this. You know, it's the same thing. It's anyone who gets so much into one thing, it just drives them crazy. All right. It's after 7. We're actually running a bit late. 7:04. So let's get on with it. We've got lots of other good stuff, including Lorraine Maisel telling us about her Rage Room experience. That's up next. CliffCentral.com.